How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So yesterday's game did not go the way that we hoped. Lost 8-7 in extra innings. Anthony Volpe, man, what more could you say about the kid? The dude is on fire. He is playing out of his freaking mind. Aaron Boone said every at bat, he's just in total control. You know, against Class A and having that 100 mile an hour triple digit cutter, you can't hit that thing. I think it's a frisbee. Volpe goes in and hits a double to tie the game in the ninth inning. Was it eighth? I think it was the ninth inning. So you look at kind of where this team is right now, and you know Volpe's impact and all these guys. But the one variable that has been a bit negative, the infield defense. Aside from Volpe, who's been excellent, the infield defense has been bad. I think Oswaldo Cabrera has a fielding percentage under 900. Rizzo had two errors yesterday. Gleyber Torres failed to field that ball that allowed the run, the tying run to come in and during the 10th inning, I believe. So you know when you're looking at this team right now, there is some weaknesses. Yes, we have the best record. Yes, this team is at the top of the power rankings, and you know we're not really complaining. We're just pointing out where we can improve, and you know if we do find ways to improve there, I think that it'll be best for the entire longevity of the season and us compounding on those successes. But you know I wanted to discuss kind of Rizzo and Gleyber. Inconsistent starts to the season, DJ LeMahieu's return, and you know how Oswaldo Cabrera fits into that puzzle once he does come back. John Birdie now on the 10-day injured list, so you know a little bit of movement there. But Ryan, before we dive into this specific issue, how you do today, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, obviously yesterday's loss, not great. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to make it seem like, oh yeah, the loss, who cares? I mean, it's a loss. The loss sucks, you know, and all that stuff. But the Yankees are 12-4 and they took a series. And I feel like that sometimes gets forgotten, right? Like, when you lose that getaway game, you know, you're reeling off of a loss, and that's the last thing you remember. And that was a brutal way to lose. Like, you see the game was in hand. All Gleyber Torres had to do was field the ball cleanly. He had Josh Naylor basically dead to rights. I mean, the play was close to the plate. After the bobble, imagine what it would have been if Gleyber fielded it cleanly. I mean, not even just one, like, he even the first bobble, if he just bobbled it first and after that kind of recovered, I think he would have gotten Naylor out. It sucks, obviously, because you kind of look at that game and it was a game that you should have won. You also think of that, like, that booted double play where Torres flips it to Volpe and Volpe loses on the transfer. That kind of kills you, too, when you're looking back at it. And obviously, I mean, the game just kind of got away from the Yankees. You know, they were up 3-0 early. Judge hits that three-run bomb. Nestor kind of gives it right back with two more runs. And then these two teams are tied at four for a while. And of all people, Esteban Florial hits a solo shot. And that's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, it almost felt scripted, but it is what it is, right? You know, as you mentioned, Volpe, like, the positive signs there are that Anthony Volpe absolutely, I mean, he looks remarkable. He looks like he's been a leadoff hitter for 10 years now. Like, this, he looks like a poised veteran. He looks like a completely different baseball player. But, yeah, the infield defense has to get better. Look, the Yankees are bang on average at zero outs above average in terms of infield defense, and you might go, well, that's not bad. Well, you know, you expected your infield defense to be a strength. It's kind of like if the offense was league average. You wouldn't go, okay, they're awful, but you would say relative to expectations, they're not coming up where we need them to be. Anthony Rizzo, I mean, two errors, right? Like, he has four errors through his first 16 games. The defense at first base has been spotty at best, and it's been below average, if we're being honest here. Gleyber Torres, you kind of expect below average defense, but when the bat isn't clicking, it hurts you that much more. Oswaldo Cabrera has not been great at third base. He's been okay. Like, he's made some pretty important errors that have kind of hurt, but the Yankees haven't lost those games, so we've kind of swept them underneath the rug. And it's one of those things where it's, you know, kind of how well the team plays dictates how concerned people usually are about a certain position, especially defensively. If the Yankees win that game, do you care about, like, Gleyber Torres' bobble? No, probably not. Like, you think of the Volpe, the missed throw in Arizona where Clay Holmes on the mound, the Yankees have a save opportunity, and, you know, Volpe fires it to first and he completely misses. If the Yankees lost that game in Arizona, we'd be talking about that play a lot more. So, you know, it stings because, you know, I don't want to sit here and pin the entire game on Gleyber. There are a lot of reasons why the Yankees lost that game. Nes Cortez kind of, it fell off, the wheels fell off of him in that start. He didn't complete five innings. You know, the home run to Luke Weaver to Esteban Florial, like, you can't be throwing a fastball there. You got to be going changeup, go all junk. Florial can't hit breaking balls. Like, we got to have the scouting report down there. And then in terms of extra innings, right? Like, the double play, that double play killed us, right? Verdugo looks back because he thinks the ball's about him in the face, and he stumbles out of the box, and then he gets thrown out at first, right? Like, you can't ground into a double play with runners on second and third. You just can't. Like, that's the double plays are definitely killer. But overall, like, the Yankees took 2 out of 3 against a good Cleveland team, against a Cleveland team that's been playing really good baseball. The Yankees are 12-4 on the season. The Yankees are in first place in the American League, in the American League East. They have the best record in baseball. The offense has been clicking. The ERA for the team is still one of the 5 best in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I don't think you can look at this series as anything other than a massive positive. The infield defense got to get better, but I think over time we'll get a better understanding of what this team's flaws are, and hopefully this is just a blip in the radar.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, specifics for a second when it comes to guys like Rizzo, the 2 errors yesterday. Do you think this is more of just a shaking the rust off situation? You know, he missed pretty much half the year in 2023 due to the concussion symptoms. Still trying to get a feel for the glove. You know, usually he plucks those out of the dirt pretty easily. I'm not overly concerned. I think he has -1 out above average or something like that. It's like, you know, nothing serious. He can easily turn it around, or -1 defensive run saved. It's nothing like astronomical. Surprisingly, like, very quietly, he has a 115 WRC plus and is hitting pretty well. Like, yesterday's game helped a lot. He had 2 hits. So, you know, he's been picking it up recently, using that vintage kind of discipline where he's able to scoop the ball out of the dirt with his bat, and, you know, bloop some singles and get on base and do the things that you expect him to do. But, you know, the glove work as a former Gold Glover, and seeing what he did last year before the injury, it's a stark difference when you look at it. Are you concerned? Do you think this is more of just shaking the rust off? And then we'll dive into kind of Gleyber Torres and, you know, his start to the season. That's been obviously disappointing, but again, not overly concerned there either.
Yeah, for Rizzo, it's just been the lack of power has been kind of concerning, because that was exactly what he lost when he went down with the concussion initially. You know, do I think it's early? Yeah, like, if you're already like, all right, we've got to move off of Rizzo, got to trade Rizzo, got to get rid of him, got to cut him, like, it's April 15th, guys, you know, like, we don't know who's good or bad yet. Like, I mean, look, let's be brutally honest here. Guys get off the hot starts and cool off all the time. Like, last year, Franchi Cordero was a godsend, and now we talk about him as a player we're glad never plays for the team. He's not even in Major League Baseball. Hell, he couldn't cut it in the MPB, and this isn't a disrespect to the MPB. It's a very competitive league, but he's probably a AAA player. Like, that's what he is at this point. You know, he's a minor league player. He's not, you know, a Major League player in Japan or the United States, right? Like, things change like this. Last year when we went to Cleveland, that was when he went off, and that's when it was like, oh my God, we have a legitimate power bat here. It, like, things change, things happen. Jake Bowers, right, like, entering, like, August, he had, like, a 120 WRC plus, and then, bam, it just doesn't hit, right? Inconsistent playing time, kind of loses his step, strikes out a lot more, doesn't hit for as much power, and just wasn't the same. You know, Anthony Rizzo, last year, got off to an unbelievable start. He was the best hitter on this team for a good portion of time, and then he just fell apart. It happens, right? So, you know, I don't want to sit here and get too high or too low on anybody. You know, obviously you're super excited about, like, Volpe, but you kind of feel like that's different because he's a top prospect and he's a guy who you expected to put up a lot of, or to have great talent, or a guy who does have a lot of great talent. And then you look at guys like Soto. Soto is hitting well, but Juan Soto's an elite hitter. Like, you're not like, oh, this is just a fluke. You're just kind of like, hey, he's just good at baseball. This is kind of what he does. Or like Jose Trevino, like, he has a 91 WRC plus. You're not like, yep, this is because Jose Trevino, it's a fluke. He's going to heat up. It's like, he's a bad hitter. Like, he just does what bad hitters do, which is not hit well. You know, there are guys who are going to turn around. There are guys who are going to slow down. I'm not overly, like, again, I'm not out on Rizzo. But again, you are a little bit concerned because he's older and he's coming off of the concussion. And then, you know, looking at Gleyber, you kind of expected bad defense. Again, that's not, like, shocking. It's not like, oh my God, Gleyber Torres is a bad defender. What happened? I can't believe this. It's, you know, he was a bad defender last year. You're just kind of like, where'd the power go? Like, the power's not there right now. He hasn't hit a home run yet. You kind of hope that turns around. I think it will. But yeah, I mean, right now my concern meter on Rizzo might be a little bit higher than Gleyber's because he's older. But there's still, like, the concern meter has barely moved, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, he's hitting fine. I'm not really worried about him offensively, and the glove will come around. You know, he'll make some really nice plays and we'll forget all about it. So yeah, like, well, we could put the Rizzo kind of conversation to bed. I mean, yes, age is going to catch up with him. We're going to see regression in some areas, but Gleyber Torres, a different kind of situation, right? 27 or 28 years old. Is he 28, 29? One of those two. But he's obviously in a final year of arbitration, heading into free agency. He's got to have a big year. You know, he just lost the leadoff spot to Volpe, and they said it was more about Gleyber than it was about Volpe, and they want to just get him a little bit more opportunities lower down the order. But I think it was about Volpe dominating. They want him to be leading off. They want him to be there. And, you know, Torres is struggling right now, hitting, what, 200 with a 297 OBP, something in that range. Not good. He's been bad with runners on base. He's been bad offensively. He doesn't have a home run this year. His slugging metrics are down a bit. But I don't think it's because he doesn't have the qualities. It's because he's just a little bit cold right now, you know? In the month of April, okay, he's cold. You know, May comes around, he's red hot, and then all of his numbers will spike, and it'll be fine. You know, we've seen this story 100 million times. The defense, though, is something that's been consistent his whole career. Yesterday, or rather last year, was not great. Yesterday, not great. Really slow little dribbler right to him. He kind of failed to pick it up cleanly and fire it home. That extra split second ties the game. You know, it's those minor little details that determine wins and losses in professional sports and in baseball. You know, it really is those little, you know, in the NFL, they say like every inch counts. And, you know, it really does come down to that. How many times have you seen a guy get stopped at the goal line on fourth down and it doesn't, you know, you don't score the touchdown to win the game? Seen it 100 billion times. MLB, same thing. That split second, you don't feel that grounder efficiently, is a run. And you lose the game because of it. So, you know, Glaber's got to be better defensively. This is not something that we are unused to, or this is not a surprise to us. He's been inconsistent in this regard in the past. So, yes, like, am I worried about Glaber's defense? I am, because he's only had, like, one good defensive year. He's never been able to put it together. Offensively, I'm not as concerned. I think he'll pick it up. Defensively, he's average. You know, he's average. You're going to get average play. You're going to get mistakes. You're going to get okay plays. It's just the way, it's just kind of the way of the world when it comes to Glaber. But at the very most, like, I'll say this, what he's doing right now certainly isn't convincing me that the Yankees are going to spend big on him next offseason, right? I don't think that if Juan Soto is going to be their primary focus, that Gleyber Torres is going to sneak his contract into the payroll. Do you think that has any impact? You know, do you think his slow start, do you think a relative down season compared to last year, does that hurt the Yankees' ability to convince themselves to extend him right now? Even before this season, I already thought it was a low probability they would extend him. The more he struggles, the more I'm like, he's just inconsistent. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of been his MO his whole career. Even last year, he was good. Defense is inconsistent. You know, like, can you pay someone a big contract knowing that you may have to survive these big cold stretches?
Yeah, I mean, I think even with a good, like, it's weird. If you had a really good year, they're definitely not bringing him back because the money would be too big. If you had a good year, maybe they're not bringing him back because they think they can replace him. And if you had a bad year, they're not bringing him back because they think they can replace him. Like, it's this, like, Glaber coming back. It sucks to say it, like, because I think he's a good ball player. It just never really felt like the likeliest outcome. Once it came out that they didn't talk about an extension, right, like, you were with Soto, it was pretty clear that they tried, right? They were like, yeah, he's just not, like, you know, it's just not gonna happen, is what it is. He didn't say we didn't approach them. He was saying, yeah, you know, it's a Scott Boras client. They usually go to free agency. There was an attempt there. Now, you might go, no duh, Juan Soto's a better player, but yeah, I mean, Juan Soto's a huge part of this. If the Yankees didn't have to pay Juan Soto, you know, you think a little bit more about whether you're going to bring back Torres or not, but you have to pay Juan Soto. He's a far more important player to this team, and that's no disrespect to Glaber, who, when he's on, he's very important, but I'm sorry, Juan Soto's just the better player. It's not close. He's the younger player. He's a lefty. He's all of these things that you've always wanted the Yankees to have. He's the priority. Like, it is what it's a business. It is what it is. And you know, you talk about like the margin of error. Like, it started raining in Cleveland and a ball gets hit to Glaber, right? Like, that's when a ball got hit to Glaber. That's when the game defining play was. You want to tell me that grass didn't play a role in him bobbling the ball? I think you're a fool if you think that wet grass doesn't play a role in a guy bobbling the ball. It's just not coming up. The cards are not coming up Glaber right now. That ball hit off of Gausman didn't go for a home run. Some of the hard hit balls he's had that hasn't gone for hits. The cards are just not coming up Glaber right now. They're not. Like, it is what it is. And you know, I'm sure he'll turn it around, but he's just going through it right now. And, you know, the really good thing about having a deep lineup is that last year, if Glaber was doing this, we would be like 2-10. 3-9, we'd be terrible, we'd be awful, you know. So he was an inch away from hitting a grand slam against Gausman. He was probably an inch here, an inch there away from getting some hits to go. He was probably if the rain just poured 5 minutes later, would he have come up clean with that ball, right? Those kinds of things where your head starts spinning. And he's a very heady baseball player. We know Gleyber Torres. He's a very, like, he can get in his head a little bit. It's important that the Yankees have those, you know, leaders in the clubhouse and that veteran presence to keep him from, you know, spiraling. There's not a lot of pressure on him right now. Like, people can say there is. Financially, sure, but it's April. Like, I think he's kind of like, you know, let me block it all out. I know my team's winning. That's all that matters. I think that takes pressure off somebody. If the Yankees were bad, man, it would be a lot. Like, this podcast would not be as, like, nonchalant as, like, ah, who cares? You know what I mean? Because the Yankees are winning. Like, we know that when, you know, Judge heats up, when Glaber heats up, when Rizzo heats up, and Soto cools down, and Volpe cools down, and all these guys who are red hot cool down, then it'll balance out, and the offensive numbers will be there. And you're right, every inch does matter. You know, I think that the Yankees are a team that has done a really good job of, you know, kind of not... They haven't necessarily gotten super lucky in certain situations. Like, they've hit the ball hard, and we've seen a lot of their barrels go for outs. But they've also, like, it's not an excuse. Like, it's not an excuse for them. They don't, you know, they don't try to make excuses for it. Again, I kind of look at, like, the 2022 ALCS, hearing Kyle Higashioka and Luis Severino talk about Alex Bregman hitting a home run and then saying, well, it was a lucky, like, it was a soft hit fly ball. Like, it was kind of lucky. Like, That sticks in my craw, man. That pissed me off a lot. Like, that's infuriating. You can't be saying that after you go up a 3-run home run and get dog walked in a ballpark where, you know, you've been facing this team for over half a decade now, and they've mollywopped you every time. You know, like, that was embarrassing. It was. And I feel like this team, there's a different energy there. I think there's a less pressure on the guys who are struggling because other guys can pick them up. And, you know, if you're in the comment section and you're, like, losing your mind about Gleyber Torres, we're 12-4. Like, what's going to happen when the Yankees, like, drop 3 of 5 or 6 of 10 or, you know, go 10-10 over a 20-game sample size? Like, what's going to happen? Like, are your heads going to explode? Like, how are we going to react, guys? Like, what's going to be the mindset? What's going to be the thought process? Like, I see people already saying you can't have Gleyber Torres on a championship-caliber team. What are we talking about, guys? So, you know, this isn't my, I'm better than you all because I'm just so much better at not overreacting. I totally overreact all the time. But it's just kind of like a, guys, we're 12-4, you know? It could be so much worse. People, you could be the Astros right now and be well below 500 and buried in your own division. You could be the Red Sox, who they lost their starting shortstop. You could be the Orioles, where you've dropped a series to the Brewers. You know, the Brewers look pretty good, but, you know, drop a series at home. It could be so much worse right now, Alex. Like, we're the best team in the league right now. I'm going to cherish it. I'm not going to spend so much time ripping these guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, we're 12-4. I have no reason to complain. Just some minor things you got to clean up. And, you know, I think ultimately it plays a bigger part in this team being a World Series caliber organization, being a World Series caliber roster. The truth is this. Those small mistakes, they win and lose you World Series. They do. And same thing in any other sport. Those small mistakes win and lose you Super Bowls, championships, whatever it might be. You got to clean up the simple mistakes. And, you know, those things are correctable. You know, more innings, more reps, more experience this season. You find your groove, you find your flow. We're only, 16 games in? The season is very young. It's in its infancy. So, yeah, we just wanted to point out some issues the Yankees want to fix and get better at while still acknowledging this team has the best record in baseball and is 2.5 games up in the AL East, and that's exactly where you want to be at this point. A nice little series sweep against Toronto would be fantastic. We got Luis Gil and Chris Bassitt facing off today, so should be a really, really good game. We do like Luis Gil a lot. He's been fantastic, another great star. I think he had 6 Ks and 8 Ks in his last performance, so we love to see that. Really, really good stuff over the weekend. Of course, would have liked to have that game yesterday, but the Yankees could have had it. It's baseball. Things happen. You can't win every single game, so we get back on the hump today and look for another victory, my friends. Make sure to like and subscribe, as always, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.